It's been nearly 4 years since the overthrow of the Taliban regime. Since then, billions of dollars in international aid have poured into Afghanistan. But according to U.S. government statistics, Afghanistan's dismal rate of infant mortality, a basic indicator of a country's development, has shown no sign of improvement. Impoverished Afghans who've seen little sign of progress are increasingly asking, where is the aid money going? And it's become a hot issue in the run-up to this month's parliamentary elections. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from Kabul.
There isn't a single paved road in all of Bamyan province. It takes just a half hour to fly to Bamyan's provincial capital from Kabul. But to drive, you bounce for at least 8 hours on a bone-jarring dirt track. Little appears to have changed here in the past 3 years, much less 300 years. There's no electricity and very little clean drinking water. At a village on the outskirts of Bamyan, a cleric named Haji Nuri showed the contaminated stream that residents drink from.
2 months ago, a kid who was 2 years old, as a result of drinking this unhealthy water, he had diarrhea and vomiting, and on the way to clinic, he died.
When a woman running for parliament showed up to ask for votes, the villagers here began voicing their frustrations. Why haven't they built anything for Bamyan? The people are disappointed, said Haji Nuri. This province is safe from the insurgency, another man added. They have no excuses. Alistair McKechnie of the World Bank says Afghanistan has been receiving $2 billion a year in developmental aid.
There are these announcements, you know, $4.6 billion mobilized in Tokyo, and the Afghans say, well, where is the money?
Next to a tent in the middle of a park in Kabul, passersby stop in front of a TV that shows pictures of impoverished Afghans and the question, where did all the money go? It's one of the slogans of Ramazan Bashardost, a parliamentary candidate who runs his populist campaign out of the tent. This French-educated former cabinet minister places the blame squarely on non-governmental agencies, or NGOs. That's become an increasingly derogatory term among Afghans, who use it to describe everything from non-profit aid agencies to private security and construction companies.
There is a mafia system in Afghanistan composed of the Afghan government, the NGOs, the United Nations, and the staff of the larger embassies. All the international aid to Afghanistan falls in the hands of this mafia. That's why, despite $2 billion a year, they still can't supply electricity even to this neighborhood.
This room is like a restaurant.
Afghan construction company manager Rafi Ahmadi shows the $500,000 recreation center he's building for the International Peacekeeping Force in Kabul. It's just one of dozens of projects he's completing for foreign organizations here. Ahmadi says he has had to pay under-the-table kickbacks to some foreign aid agencies, even for humanitarian construction projects like schools.
For example, when the contract is near to sign, when it is near, then we will ask me some money. They cannot ask this directly. They always ask this indirectly by one of the local staffs.
The increasingly conspicuous foreign community of contractors, aid workers, and advisors here have also come under fire for a lifestyle that sharply contrasts with impoverished Afghans. At bars and restaurants like this one, foreigners eat $45 lobster tail dinners that cost more than many Afghans make in a month. Due to security threats and soaring real estate prices, some humanitarian agencies also pay up to $10,000 a month to rent houses and offices in Kabul. Joanna Nathan of the International Crisis Group says there's a growing backlash throughout the country against NGOs.
There's definitely growing discontent with the whole foreign community here, who often their major interaction with is just seeing sort of big, shiny vehicles.
Aid workers say it's unfair to label all NGOs as corrupt, but many aid workers acknowledge that the international community and the Afghan central government have failed to meet the very high expectations of the Afghan people since the fall of the Taliban. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Kabul.